Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we could be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the sunshine and the rain. Lord, just the goodness that you give to us each and every day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings, Lord, of watching over us and giving us your care. Lord, we do not deserve it, but you are faithful, and we recognize that this morning. And Lord, we pause and we say thank you for your goodness and for your faithfulness to us. We ask you to help us this day, Lord, to live up to what we're supposed to be. Father, strengthen us, encourage us, challenge us. Do what it is, Lord, that you do that helps us to be what we can be for you. And I pray that, Lord, when all is said and done because of this, that you would receive the honor and the glory. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm continuing my series in the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs chapter 15, and the series title is Biblical Principles for Practical Living. It's my, contention or my argument with that simply, and I think most of us would agree, that the Bible is full of a lot of principles, not just commandments, thou shalls and thou shall nots. We know that. But the Bible has many principles. These are guidelines or a parameter in which God wants us to conduct ourselves in. And these are truths that would enable us to have what God wants for us to have. You see, God can't give to us what he wants to give to us unless we place ourselves in a position where God can then bless. And that's what these biblical principles do. They place us in that position where God can do for us what God promised he would do for us if we would obey his word. And so we're going through the book of Proverbs. We're looking for biblical principles for practical living. We're taking them as they come. We're not looking for any certain title. We're looking down through verse by verse, and we're discussing principles which we could put into practice immediately. And if we are not already doing so, would to God that we would do that, or we would at least consider putting these principles into practice. As I said, we're in Proverbs 15, we're in verse 10, and the Bible says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die." I've identified this as one of the biblical principles that I'd like for us to consider this morning. That word correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. You know, I think pretty much what this verse is talking about is pretty simply this: having a teachable spirit is a vital and a necessary trait that every Christian should have. And unfortunately, though, many do not have that, especially among the adolescents, especially among young people, sometimes in the teens or even in the early 20s and obviously even younger in the preteens, sometimes young people. But you know, it's not just confined to young people. Sometimes when we're old or we're older, that doesn't mean we have developed an attitude of being able to be corrected. Having a teachable spirit. Someone said years ago that I heard, said, you know, everybody knows something that I do not, therefore everybody should be allowed to be my teacher in some area of life. You know, even somebody that you disagree with on almost everything probably knows something you don't or that I don't, and so I should allow them to potentially be my teacher because I could learn something from them. But you know, so often we don't have that attitude. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, verse 1, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." I wonder this morning, do we love instruction? Do we love knowledge? But the Bible says, contrast that verse, Proverbs 12, 1, "He that hateth reproof is brutish." You know, there are a lot who hate reproof. Here in verse 10, it says, "He that hateth reproof shall die." In chapter 12, verse 1, "He that hateth reproof is brutish." You know, there are many people who just can't stand to be corrected. You know, often pride is a source of that. Don't tell me, I already know that. And we get irritated and we get bothered because somebody's going to tell us something we already know. I wonder why it is you tell a young person something that they know and they get a little irritated and they said, "I already know that. I've been told that before. You don't have to keep telling me." Why is that? Sometimes adults are the same way. We don't like to be told. But, you know, a person who wants to learn probably doesn't have a bad attitude toward that. They may already know it, but they might appreciate the fact that you're telling them just to make sure that you do know. You see, pride is often the source of this grievous attitude that we have towards somebody giving us instruction. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise man's going to say, listen, tell me what you know. Instruct me. Teach me. But a scorner says, I don't want to hear it. Don't bother me with it. I already know. In Proverbs 1:30, the Bible says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. And that's wisdom speaking there. They would none of my counsel. God saying here, God has given wisdom to cry out into the streets, teaching, instructing, giving good advice, giving good knowledge. And yet many will not hear it, don't want to hear it, won't receive it. They actually despise it because it's an offense to their pride. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? In this particular passage, God is teaching us we're the one ends up in a life of ruin. And after looking back upon his life, realizing, why did I hate the instruction? Why did my heart despise the reproof that I received? Other words, why didn't I listen? Why didn't I allow myself to be taught? Why didn't I allow myself to be corrected? You know, I wonder how many people today are looking back upon life's decision and they are suffering the consequence of their decisions, because we all know that decisions have consequences. I wonder how many are looking back and they're saying to themselves, boy, I wish I would have listened. I wish I wouldn't have been so hard-headed. I wish I wouldn't have been so full of pride. I wish I would have been allowed myself to be instructed, to be taught, to be trained, to be reminded. You know, so often when somebody gives us instructions, it obviously and clearly is something that we've heard many a times. But, you know, it never hurts to hear it again as a way of reminder. I wonder, when you are reminded of something that you already know, do you get irritated? Do you get irritated at mom and dad? Do you get irritated at your boss who reminds you what you're supposed to do, what he's expecting? Do you get irritated? Does it bother you? Or do you have an attitude, hey, thanks, I appreciate that? Proverbs 10, verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. That person who refuses reproof, doesn't want to hear it, will not hear it, that the Bible teaches that there's a person who is erring in his life. In Proverbs 15, verse 12, we see the Bible says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. I wonder, what is your attitude? What is my attitude when somebody reproves us, when somebody corrects us, when somebody instructs us? Do we get irritated, or are we appreciative of that bit of instruction? Well, this is a good principle to live by, one which we know. Our problem is that it's not that we don't know this principle. Our problem is sometimes we just don't like this principle, because many times we get so full of pride, we don't want to be instructed. And so this is a good challenge. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. What is your attitude? Do you have a teachable spirit this morning? Every Christian should. Do we this morning? Let's drop down to verse 13, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. The Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Again, here's a good principle to live by, a biblical principle for everyday instruction. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. You know, the face is the index of the condition of the mind. The face is the index of the condition of the mind. Someone said this, in the forehead and the eye, the lecture of the mind doth lie. Listen to that again. In the forehead and the eye, the lecture of the mind doth lie. In other words, I think it's talking about that your facial expressions often are representative of your attitude inside. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. In Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Boy, I tell you what, that's some really good, cheap medicine. Everybody is aware that the price of medicine is skyrocketing so high. Price of insurance. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Give yourself a good dose of medicine today. Have a merry heart. It's better than an apple. We often say an apple a day keeps a doctor away. A merry heart, boy, what would that do for us to give us good health? The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You know this as well as I. You know somebody's having a difficult time in life. A lot of pressures have built upon on their life, and they're down. They're discouraged. Heaviness in the heart maketh it stoop. You can look at somebody and often say, hey, you know, everything all right today? Anything I can do for you? You can see it on their face. You can see it in their body. You can see that they're under stress. They're having difficulty. They're burdened. Their body manifests what the heart and the mind and the spirit often are going through. In Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? A wounded spirit. You know, a lot of folks today have a wounded spirit, and it's showing up in their body. The Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, verse 2, wherefore the king said unto me, and of course that was Nehemiah, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. Nehemiah was afraid when the king saw and took notice that he had a sad countenance. He knew that he wasn't sick, and he was inquiring, why are you this way? What's going on? What's the matter? You know, Nehemiah was under a lot of pressure. He had a burden, and his body was giving evidence to what the conflict was going on inside. The king did not know exactly what was going on, but he knew something was going on. And often you and I can look at people, and we may not know the details of life, but we can tell very clearly something heavy is weighing on their heart and their mind. You know, our inner being, our inner thought process often manifests itself, often declares itself in our bodily expressions, our facial expressions, as that phrase, in the forehead and the eye, the lecture of the mind doth lie. You know, our countenance speaks volumes about our mental condition. Nonverbal communication is not always done with purpose, but it's often done. It often speaks for us, even when we have lost sight, that our actions are screaming. Our attitude is screaming a message. And we haven't said anything, but our body expressions, our attitude, our facial expressions are telling a message, declaring a message, something about us. We're mad, we're angry, we're sad, we're burdened. What is our countenance saying today? You're listening. If you're listening, obviously you're listening. I wonder, what has your countenance been saying to those around you today? What have people been thinking about when they saw you? That you're happy, that you're burdened, that you're angry, that you're irritated, you're frustrated? What is your facial expression saying? Oh, you haven't said anything verbally. You haven't communicated with words, but you have communicated with your nonverbal communication, your facial expressions, your body language, as we would say. Not only does a merry heart make a cheerful countenance in our lives, but we are affecting others around us as well. You know, our body language is speaking, and it affects those around us. You know, we often remember this phrase, smile. It's contagious. How true is it? Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of truth in that. Smile. It's contagious. And that is true. Our body, our physical disposition often declares a message. And that does affect those around us. How do we affect our homes with our body language? The Bible says, or if you would, our countenance is a window into our hearts. Our countenance is a window into our hearts. Consider this. Genesis 4:6, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? God looked at Cain's countenance, and he could tell he was angry. He knew something was wrong. In Genesis 31, verse 2, the Bible says, "And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before." Jacob understood that Laban had a different attitude. He had something going on. And Laban could tell, Jacob could tell, even though Laban hadn't said anything. His body, his body language was declaring a message. The Bible says in Matthew 6:16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Notice that phrase, "that they may appear unto men to fast." That teaches us that humanity, we human beings, we understand that people understand a message declared by our body actions. Every one of us knows this. We know that we can say volumes without ever mentioning one single word, and we can say volumes simply by and through our actions. I wonder this morning, what are your actions saying? What are mine saying? Would to God we'd have a merry heart that would give us a cheerful countenance. I thank you for listening today, and you have a great day.